Bibles, turn with me, 1 Kings chapter 3. Before we begin, let's ask our Lord's blessing. Our Father, this evening, we call upon you, thanking you, blessing you, praising you for who you are. Lord, I pray, bless the word to our hearts. Teach us afresh of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his glory, in the redemption and salvation of sinners. These things we ask for Christ's sake. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 3. I'm going to be looking at most of the verses in this chapter, not in detail, obviously, but just to set forth the beautiful picture of the redemption and salvation of God's elect. Solomon, the heart of Solomon, was summed up in verse 3 of chapter 3. It says this, "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places." Now, is that not what a marvelous epitaph? What a marvelous statement of the memory of this man, Solomon. Here's what it says. Solomon loved the Lord. And the reason that he loved the Lord is because the Lord first loved him. And he walked, the scripture says, before God honorably. He believed God, like his dad, David, did. And he sacrificed and burnt incense in the acceptable places, in the high places. Look at verse 4. "And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. For that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar." And then this man Solomon had a dream. And verses 5 to 15 reveals this dream that he had. It says, "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.'" Now you think about this. The Lord came to him in a dream and asked him, "What do you want? What do you want?" "And Solomon said, 'Thou hast shown unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. "And God said unto him, 'Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any rise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. Now, returning back to Jerusalem from Gibeon, he had gone to Gibeon to offer the sacrifices unto the Lord. And while he was there, he dreamed a dream that was not just a vain, empty dream. It wasn't a foolish dream that just doesn't make sense like we have. But this was a divine dream. A dream wherein God spoke to him. Asked him a question. And in that dream, Solomon answered him. Gave him an honest answer. That was the desire of his heart. And that desire was of the Lord. And God blessed it. God blessed that which he had given unto Solomon. And the scripture says after he had come back from Gibeon and he had gone back to Jerusalem and stood before the ark and offered the burnt offerings, peace offerings, obviously from the wording of the scripture, the very next day, he had a dream at night. And so he comes back to Jerusalem. And obviously, right at this says, verse 16, and this is an account of something that God permitted, sent Solomon. And it was going to be afterwards, by the good providence of the Lord, the Lord's immediate proof to Solomon that God had given him exactly what God said he gave him. He said, I've given you an understanding. I've given you some judgment and some wisdom. So here's what happens. An actual event. Here's Solomon. He had a dream. The Lord told him, this is what I've given you. Next day, obviously. These two women. It says in verse 16, then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house. And I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together, and there was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. She arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept and laid it in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. The other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son. The dead's thy son. And this said, No, but the dead's thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, thy son is dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And he brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one, half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Now, that's an amazing story, isn't it? That I've heard of that story. I've back when I was real young and going to Sunday school and Southern Baptist churches, I'd heard of this story. It was a story about these two women, and each had a baby. But let me tell you this. This beautiful story is a marvelous display of the grace of God in the redemption and salvation of His people. This is the first. This was the first event after God gave Solomon wisdom. And this is the message. This is the message that was preached. Now here's what we know. If we fail to see Christ and in His glory of the redemption and salvation of His people in a passage, if we fail to see that, then we've missed the message of the passage. It doesn't matter what you think you see. If we don't see Christ and His honor and His glory and His praise in the salvation of His people, I'm going to be the first to admit, we might not see it, but that doesn't mean it's not there. It's there. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ told the Jews in John 5:39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me." Do you know the only Scriptures that they had when He told them that was the Old Testament? Luke 24:27, I love this passage of Scripture. "Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures." How many of them? All of them. "The things concerning Himself." Can you imagine hearing Him bring Himself out in those Scriptures? That's those two disciples said, "Didn't our heart burn within us as He opened unto us the Scripture?" Now here's what happened. Two women each had a child, 3 days apart. And they came and related their story to Solomon. Obviously, immediately there was a fight at the house. You can only imagine. And so they're going to have to go before the king, and they're going to have to talk to the king. And here's the thing that was kind of perplexing. Verse 18 said, while they were telling King Solomon this story, it says, "It came to pass the third day after I was delivered that this woman was delivered also, and we were together, and there was no stranger with us in the house save we two in the house." You know what that means? It's one of them's word against the other. I dare say they had any way of proving for sure, without an uncertainty, which child belonged to her word against her word. There was nobody else here. Well, as these events unfolded, Solomon found out that one of the women's child, obviously, had been smothered by the mother. That's what it said. She overlaid it. She was asleep. She didn't realize it. It can happen. I realize that. I don't think that could happen. Obviously, it could, because she overlaid this child, and this baby died. And the woman whose child had not died, in telling the story to King Solomon, related to him her conclusion. She said, this other woman overlaid her own child and smothered it. And she got up in the middle of the night and took my baby and laid her dead baby beside me. And for whatever reason, guilt, fear, she said, she took my baby. And so the true mother explained. She said, "When I got up, I woke up the next morning and I was going to nurse my baby." And she said, "And then I discovered that the baby that was laying next to me was not my baby. Now she would know, that mother would know. Now you mothers, don't tell me. I remember when our kids were little and how a mother, she's going to look at those fingers. She knows exactly. She's done counted those fingers. She's got five fingers on each side, five toes on each side. She looks at them, and every little quirk, every little knot on the ear, if there's a little birthmark or something, that nose, she's looked at that baby. She has. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You know your baby. That's my baby. She wasn't on 3 days, or if she was the one that had one, whatever it was. She knew that is not my baby. And immediately, when she knew that that's not my baby, she looked over there and saw that live baby, and she said, that's my baby. And the other one told her, started arguing with her, and she said, no, it's mine. Yours died. It's not mine. Well, they listened. I rehearsed that to Solomon, and it was back and forth. You saw the thing. You know, one said, no, that's mine. No, that's mine. No, yours died. No, yours died. No. Solomon said, wait a minute. Hold on just a second. Bring me a sword. Verse 24, 25. He brought a sword to the king, and the king said, cut that baby in half. Divide the living child in two. And give half to the one, half to the other. And the scripture said, verse 26, then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, and her heart was broken. She yearned upon her son, and she said, oh my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. Don't kill that baby. Go ahead and give it to her. And the other woman that didn't have the child, it wasn't her child, look what she said in the latter part of verse 26. The other said, no, go ahead and do it. Cut that baby in half. Let it be neither mine nor thine. Go ahead and kill it. Now in this story, I've got four short points. And here is the marvelous display of God's grace. Here's my first point. And I want you to, I'm going to just go ahead and tell you right here. The mother of the living child is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The living child is a picture of God's elect, God's true children. Somebody would say, well, I don't see how this harlot, this mother, can be a picture of Christ. Well, let's just look and see. Let's just see if the Lord's words, when he said, and he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, those things concerning himself. Let's just see if that's so. I want you to notice first the knowledge of mercy that the Lord Jesus Christ has for his people, the knowledge that he has. The mother of the living child said in verse 21, when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. Here's one thing I know. The Lord Jesus Christ knows his own. John 10:14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. The Lord is the good shepherd. He's good, for he is holy. Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. The good shepherd. Good in mercy, good in his word, good in his providence to his people. He knows those that have been given him in electing grace from before the foundation of the world. The Lord told Jeremiah this. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. You know, remember those, that group that'll stand before the Lord and they'll say, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out devils in your name. We've done many wonderful works in your name. And he'll say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Does that mean he had no knowledge of them at all? Oh, he knew who they were. But he never knew them in mercy. He never knew them in grace. They were never given him by the Father before the foundation of the world. It was not for them that he prayed. It was not for them that he died. I never knew you. 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. What is it? The Lord knoweth them that are his. My people that are called by my name. God's people. That's the first thing. This woman said, I looked at that baby. That's not my baby. That's not my baby. She knew her baby. And the Lord knows his people. Secondly, here's a truth that I know. The Lord's people fell in Adam. The mother who laid and smothered her child, what did she do? Well, I tell you exactly what she did. She came under the cloak of darkness, middle of the night, and with a lying tongue and deceitfulness in her heart, she came and captured the love of that mother. That's exactly what she did. And she took that live baby, put that dead baby there, and now holding that live baby in her arms, now captive, I got it, with no intention whatsoever of letting that child go, not any intentions whatsoever to give that baby back to his mama. It's going to be mine. I got you. What happened in the garden? Satan came to Eve and subtlety, lying, deceitfulness, came to her and said, Have God said that if you eat all the fruit that you're going to die? She said, yeah, that's what he said. You're not going to die. You're not going to die. If you eat of the fruit, you're going to be like God. You'll be as wise as God. You'll have the mind of God. And Eve came to Adam and she gave him of the fruit, being beguiled, fooled by Satan. But Adam, with his eyes wide open, took of the fruit and ate, the scripture says, thereof, and plunged not only himself, but all mankind into the captivity of sin through the subtlety of Satan. Came he, beguiled her, and Adam ate. And the scripture says that Satan himself now had him captive. He was a strong man. Had him bound in trespasses and sins. How are any of God's people going to be released unless one that is stronger than the strong man come in and bind the strong man and take that which is captive to himself? He led captivity captive. Took them back. How'd he do it? Through the shedding of his own blood. It's made sin. And here now, all mankind, just as that lying mama came and she had her dead baby, came and took the live baby. Now it's mine. It's mine. You ain't getting it back. Now, obviously, men are born in captivity to sin. Ignorant, blind, darkness, with no desire whatsoever to be free of themselves. Here's a baby. That baby now is in the arms of this lying mama. It's just her word against hers. How are you going to prove it? How are you going to know? That baby's captive to whoever's got it. Here's the third thing. Consider the love of the Lord for His people. Consider God's love for His people. Whenever King Solomon had finished hearing the argument, he wisely said, I don't believe for one second that he meant to cut that baby in half. I don't think so. Wisdom was speaking here. He said, I'm gonna draw this out. I'm going to draw it out. He said, bring me a sword. Cut the baby in half. Divide them by, you know. When that King Solomon finished hearing that argument, he took that sword and brought it and let those two women look at it. And when faced with her son's death, that mama, because her bowels, her compassion, her tender love yearned for that son, she said this. Now here's, to me, this is the key statement of this whole passage right here. She said, oh my Lord, give her the living child and in no wise slay it. Now you think about what she just said. She had just been saying, give me the child. The child is mine. She lied. Don't give it to her. Give it to me. Give me the child. That's my child. When she saw that child faced with judgment and justice from King Solomon, her heart broke for that child. Shall it be that child to die? Shall that child suffer the penalty of death at my expense? Immediately, this woman humbled herself, willing to say before the king, it's what she said, since justice means the death of that child, let me then bear the position as a deceiver. I was lying. I've been a huckster. I'll bear the punishment that the king sees fit, only in no wise slay the child. Don't slay the child. I'll take my place as a liar before you. That really was the mama. But I tell you what she did immediately. When that child was faced with death, that mother humbled herself and said, for the sake of that child, I'll take the responsibility and be made in the eyes of the king to be one that was lying for the sake of that child right there. Listen to Philippians 2, 7, start verse 5, verse 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That woman, that mama, was willing to be surety for the one that she loved, willing to give herself and let herself be made in the eyes of the king as a deceiver. You think of me whatever you want to. You think I've been lying to you? Give it to her. Give it to her. You think I've been trying to finagle this court? In other words, this woman was ready to present herself as a conniving sinner before Solomon, that her son might live. And likewise, concerning the justice of the law being satisfied, and God's sheep being delivered from the bondage of sin, the scripture says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When the Lord Jesus Christ hung upon that cross, there was Marvin Stoniker the liar. It was Marvin Stoniker, the cheat. It was Marvin Stoniker, the conniver. Whatever you can say about me, whatever I am, that's what he was made. He was made sin. And he did it for God's glory and for the good of his people. Oh, her heart burned for that child. Give her the child. Give her the child. You think I'm a liar? That's fine. That's fine. You give her a child. Just don't hurt the boy. Don't hurt the boy. Lastly, the Lord is a just God and a Savior. Solomon beheld. He saw the love of that true mother. That sword that she looked at in the hands of the king, that sword of justice and judgment, had already pierced her heart as she considered the helplessness of the child and the surety of his end, unless she was willing to be an intercessor on that child's behalf. That child could not speak for itself. That child is going to be the victim of whatever happens. And that mama, because of her love for him, interceded for that child. Give her the baby. Give her the baby. I'll go without. But at least my baby won't be dead. Give her life or the child's life. One's going to suffer. And that mama had already suffered. And the child didn't have sense enough to even know what he was going to suffer. She did. She was willing to forsake all for her son. All. Even herself. What if the king throws me in prison? What if the king kills me for lying to him? Might be worse now than lying to a judge now. Might be death then. Whatever the consequences, you give it to her. Whatever you think, give it to her. Kill me, but don't kill the boy. And Solomon, by his answer, said this. This is what he was saying. He said, by your actions that you've exhibited, you've proven yourself to be the one that truly loves this child. You do. The other one said, go ahead and kill it. You don't love it. That's not your baby. This is your baby. Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. You know, for the redemption and salvation of God's elect, the scripture says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. How much did God love his own? The scripture says, for God so loved the world, the arrangement, the order of man, that he gave his only begotten son. He who came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost, his people. He shall save his people. Call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. Slay not the child. Don't slay him. What did he do? He gave himself. Slay me. Take me and let this one go free. Remember what he said in the garden? It came Judas and that group of soldiers, and he said, whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I'm he. If I'm the one you seek, you let these go free. You know, I pray the Lord bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake. Amen.